You know, it occurs to me that you're the first woman candidate for governor in a major party that I've ever covered in my, well, 25 plus years here. And I guess the question that people have, you know, why are you doing this now? I mean, you already have a career and you haven't really run a government before. What is the thinking?
The thinking is that I love New York State. And for the last 8 years, well, for 17 years, I've been going up to Albany and I've been traveling around New York fighting for better and more equitable school funding. I'm a public school parent of three kids. And Andrew Cuomo, year after year, I go up and I fight him on the budget, and we all fight him, public school parents from all over the state. And the definition of insanity is doing something over and over again and expecting a different result. So for me, as for thousands of women across the country, the election of Donald Trump, in the sense that if we didn't like the direction our government was going in, we had to get involved in a bigger way than ever before and take it back and enact the changes that we want to see, that's what finally pushed me over the line. It's something I've actually been considering for 8 years. But with Donald Trump in the White House, wanting my state to be the progressive bastion that it wants to be, that it should be, that Andrew Cuomo has prevented it from being, I just look at all the ways we're under attack from the federal government, and our people are under attack, and I look at all this legislation, whether it's making us a real sanctuary state or passing single-payer health care or becoming a leader in renewable energy or fully funding our schools, all these things that we should have done and that New Yorkers want us to do, that's why I'm running, because it's time's up. Time's up on progressive change in waiting for progressive change in New York. We have to make it happen.
If Hillary Clinton hadn't lost, do you think you'd be doing this?
I think if Hillary Clinton hadn't lost, I don't think I would be doing it. But I also have to say, I don't think if Bernie Sanders had shown what an appetite there is for addressing economic inequality, I think I also, the two factors really weighed equally heavily for me. And also, I have to say that Andrew Cuomo is trying to discover the progressive part of himself and the anti-Trump part of himself. But the fact of the matter is, for 8 years, he's completely governed like a fiscal Republican, and he's completely empowered the Republicans.
Yeah, you've been really offering up a political indictment of Andrew Cuomo. And so I guess you've made a lot of the case against him. But, you know, why do you feel so strongly that he's just not the right person to be governor now?
I just feel that for 8 years, Andrew Cuomo has governed like a fiscal Republican, and he's completely empowered the Republican Party. And at a time when we really need to be combating Trump, he's unable to do it anyway other than rhetorically, because actually the kind of tax cut that Donald Trump just enacted, that's what Andrew Cuomo's been doing to us for 8 years. He's been, from the moment he entered office, he offered a tax break on everybody earning more than $300,000 a year, and he slashed taxes on corporations, and he eliminated the bank tax, and all of the things that Donald Trump is doing now that Andrew Cuomo is pretending to be aghast at is what Andrew Cuomo has done to us, which is why we've lost $25 billion in revenue for the state, and why everything from our schools to our subways to our health care to our every part of our infrastructure, whether we're talking about roads or whether we're talking about human services, is completely emaciated. And he's starving our state, and everything is starting to break down in every corner.
Okay, but the governor does have progressive items that he's running on, raising the minimum wage, his gun control measures, the free college tuition, and, you know, a lot of people do know about that. You're definitely the underdog here in this race. Early polls show Cuomo is way ahead of you. He has $30 million. He has the support of a lot of major unions. I mean, how do you make the case against that?
I mean, I think all of his, just almost every piece of progressive legislation that he touts, if you actually read past the headline, it's way too little and way too late. In terms of, you know, free college for all, he touts that. It only affects a very narrow group of New Yorkers who are middle-class New Yorkers who earn too much money to be affected by the federal grant, by the Pell Grant, and people who can afford to go to college full-time, don't have to work, can graduate in 4 years, can guarantee they won't move out of state afterwards for 4 years, and importantly, don't need any help with books, with room, with board, with transportation. That's a very narrow, targeted group of people.
That's right. It is actually considered the funding of the last resort, is the way they put it. Well, here's another thing that, you know, Cuomo goes around saying that he frequently made the case. In fact, I heard him this morning making it down in New York City, that, you know, he's the one to fight against President Trump and the Republican Congress. His argument is pretty much, you know, it takes a tough guy to stand up to another tough guy. That true?
You know, one of the many ironies about Andrew Cuomo's, you know, now putting up his fists against Trump, he's blaming Donald Trump for the $4.4 billion deficit we've got in this state. Well, that has almost nothing to do with Donald Trump. That can be directly laid at the doorstep of Andrew Cuomo, who has slashed taxes so much that with every increasing, every budget that comes down under him, we have less and less funds. So we have an ever ballooning deficit because the cuts that he made are kind of a time release. So they grow over time.
And so there's some, the bigger news that you've already touched on in some other formats in political circles anyway this week is the reunification of the Senate Democrats, the IDC and the mainstream Democrats. That's got to be good news, right? That's something that you've been talking about. Yeah. Do you think it's for real?
We'll see if it's for real. He promised it 4 years ago after getting the Working Families Party endorsement, and then it never materialized. He's now announced it. We'll see if it lasts. But I think the more important thing is for 8 years, he's been saying that this had nothing to do with him and that it was beyond his control. But it seems completely in his control. As soon as he wants to pull the trigger on this, he pulls the trigger and boom, the IDC is reconciled. It's an incredibly cynical move. It's one that shows that his main concern is positioning himself in the Democratic primary, trying at this late date to look like a progressive. If he really had the ability to reconcile the IDC, why didn't he do it 8 years ago? And why did he do it if he could have done it right now? Why didn't he do it, you know, a week and a half ago so that we actually could have had a democratically passed budget that would have included so many things that are Democratic priorities and that he says are his priorities, like criminal justice reform, like early voting, like the Child Victims Act. Like, you know, we could have had Andrea Stewart Cousins in the room when they were debating sexual harassment. I mean, this is something that we associate with real, you know, red states, a bunch of white male legislators sitting around debating what it's like to be a woman and be sexually harassed and what kind of legislation we should have. This is not what we should be doing in New York. We're better than that.
Okay, lastly, a couple of political logistical questions. You said you don't expect that you're going to the Democratic Party convention next month.
I didn't actually say that. Yeah. I didn't offer an opinion on that.
Yeah. So what is the strategy? Are you going to go the petition route and get signatures to get the nomination?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. We're going to be collecting signatures all over the state.
Because you don't expect that you'll get 25% of the vote at the Democratic convention, which is what you would need.
I certainly don't think we can count on it, but I wouldn't want to make a guess. I certainly wouldn't say it's a done deal. No.
Don't want to rule it out. Also, the Working Families Party, are you seeking their nomination?
Of course. Absolutely. Andrew Cuomo is seeking their nomination, and I am seeking it too, as any and every Democrat should. They're a really important force in this country, fighting for working people.
If you got it, would you stay in the race with them until November?
I'm not prepared to say.
Okay, finally.
Oh, yes.
Well, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off. If you want to add more
I'm happy to. They're asking me to wrap up, but I think you also said last.
Yes, okay, yes. No. Finally, Lieutenant Governor, do you have somebody in mind? Are you looking at Jermaine Williams, the New York City Council person who is running? Is he a possibility?
Certainly, Jumani and I have run into each other at a few events, but we have not yet sat down together and had even a preliminary conversation. But I know we'll be doing that in the coming weeks, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Is there anybody else you're looking at that you would care to share the name
not
of?
Not that I would care to share. No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Enjoy the throwaway. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.